Well, I don't even have words to describe them. They are amazing bunch of ladies, that's for sure. I couldn't do this without them.
Aww.
So they definitely, it is a team effort for sure. It takes, everyone says it takes a village, and it definitely does. I mean, you need to have a horse, but you need to have the support and the people backing you. And I have a really great group of people that really want to see me accomplish my goals and support that and cheer me on all the time. So I'm very lucky. I say it all the time because I'm so grateful for all of them. They make it a lot of fun too. And they are, they're great. They don't pressure either. The horse owners, they just love seeing their horse. And for them, as long as we're happy, that's all that matters. And if they do well, that's great. And but at the end of the day, we really just like to enjoy the horses and have fun with it. So they also keep me grounded that way too. And yeah, they've been really definitely a huge play, a huge role in this, that's for sure.
There is a depth and a breadth to our lives that largely goes unexplored. As an equestrian life mindset coach and host of this podcast, I am here to lead you on that exploration. Deep conversations covering topics in and out of the show ring with industry leaders and unsung heroes alike, sharing their stories and what makes their journey unique, but relatable at the same time. We all have stories to share and lessons to trade. Something we've learned from a horse or from each other. So relax and be ready to listen with more than just your ears. I'm Tracy Mitchell. Welcome to Hitting Your Stride. Hi everyone, Tracy Mitchell here, and I want to welcome everyone back to Hitting Your Stride, the Equestrian Elements Life Coaching Podcast. We've got a familiar face joining us today as we welcome Maya Markowski back to the show. Longtime listeners will remember Maya from episode 13, where we talked with Equest Dressage owner about her business, goals and aspirations, and different elements of the horses that Maya has an appreciation for. But today's episode is a special one, as Maya joins us to talk about something special, going after her Olympic dream. As laid-back as a horsewoman can be, Maya made her mark in the equestrian world by specializing in young horse development, behavioral rehabilitation, and retraining. But she never lost sight of what she wanted to accomplish for herself. And chasing down a dream like this is a complex and long-term goal that takes preparation, perspective, teamwork, and dealing with the realities that go along with it. We get caught up on Maya's current horses she's training, the work she's putting in to qualify for the Pan Am Games in Santiago, Chile in 2023, a precursor to the Olympics, and what she's seeing with her Equest family as it all plays out. With that said, let's get down to hitting your stride in this conversation with Maya Markowski. Hey, Maya, welcome back to Hitting Your Stride.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm very good. Thank you for coming back and chatting with me. I looked back. You were my, you're my first repeat guest. And secondly, I think it was episode 13 that you were on, and now we're on 46. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Time flies.
I know. Whether you're having fun or not, it's been awesome. Okay, so when we talked more than a year ago, you mentioned that your goal was to qualify for the Olympics. A big step towards that will be coming up for you in 2023 when you are aiming to take part in the Pan Am Games in Santiago, Chile. The first thing I want to know is, how are the preparations for this coming along?
Oh, they're very good. I'm very excited. I have four horses that are doing really well. Two of them just made their pre-St. George debut last weekend and did really well. So that's a big step in that direction as well. And the other two are improving all the time. So I'm pretty excited. They're all doing really well. So it's looking good.
Awesome. So the horses are looking good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy summer, but I'm good. It's a lot of different whirlwind of emotions. It's busy. It's exciting. It's fun to have all the support around me. So it's been very good, but yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, like when you go and you set a big goal for yourself like that and you put it out there, and yeah, it can be a little overwhelming at times, or like you said, maybe a little bit scary, and you go through that, you know, mm-hmm. gamut of emotions and everything. But yeah, you know, when you kind of step back, like, do you ever step back since you've, you know, said that you're doing this and gone like, whoa, this is kind of cool. Like, this is something I've always wanted to do. How's that feeling for you?
It's pretty neat. I mean, it's sometimes a bit surreal. Like, all four of these horses are horses I started when they were young. So it's, you know, even just to get this far with them all, I'm pretty proud of them. So it's sometimes a bit of a surreal feeling. And then you get excited when it actually is all working out.
Nice. Yes, that's awesome. All right. So how do you keep things in proper perspective to keep it from being overwhelming? Making it to the Pan Ams is the step you need before taking the big step to eyeing up a run for the Olympics. So how do you remind yourself to focus on what you can control that's in front of you and not let your mind wander to bigger things?
I'm a pretty laid back person, so I don't get too overwhelmed. I take it one step at a time. So I find it more exciting right now, really, than overwhelming. Cool. I take it, you know, a day at a time. They are horses, and, you know, it's always a journey. Everybody knows there's ups and downs, and it's like a roller coaster ride. So, you know, you have your goal in sight, but I just really kind of take it all one day at a time and just enjoy the path to get there and the training and learn. And yeah, so I try not to get too overwhelmed. I don't like to get stressed out.
Oh, well, I know I've been to your barn numerous times over the years as I massage one of these four horses that you're aiming with. And yeah, that's one of the things I've always noticed about your barn. It's such a lovely environment. And you are like, there's that moments of like, there's Maya. She's just like doing her thing. And yeah, you're right. Like, there's no like anxiousness, or like, you're just very chill.
Yeah. I even listen to myself sometimes and I think I sound so monotone because I'm just always very level. And people are like, are you excited? I'm like, yes, this is me excited. Can't you tell?
But so don't you think these horses pick up on that? That's probably why, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're doing so well and enjoy your partnership. We'll talk about the four a little bit later on, but is there anything else that you're doing for yourself outside of the barn to help prepare you for this?
Honestly, I've been so busy this summer. It's been very much all in the barn. Okay. And focusing that way. I mean, I still try and be home and balance that part out as well, but I'm pretty dedicated to it and I really love it. So it's, you know, it's work, but it's not work at the same time. And mm-hmm. So I get great enjoyment out of being at the barn. So yeah, that's kind of really focusing on the training and the showing this summer.
Now, what about, like, do you work with a sports psychologist, or do you work with anybody outside of the ring that helps you prepare for being in it? Is that something you've looked into?
I have before. We did quite a few years ago. We worked with a couple different psychologists and they were really quite helpful. I mean, it definitely would be a good idea getting closer to that, just to kind of help with the mental preparation of it all. So that's definitely something I would look into next year, because it was very eye-opening, some of it, you know. Yeah. Like learning to not have expectations, set goals but no expectations.
There you go.
That was a big thing I learned.
Yeah.
And I was younger too, so it was good stuff to hear.
Yeah,
because that definitely changed my way of looking at it, because I'd been showing Lumiere for a while at the small tour, and you kind of get to a point where you think you should be doing better or expect that it should go well, and then you're never happy with it. Whereas if you have a goal for that ride, you accomplish your goal, and no matter the mark or what they say, you're still happy. So you stay a much happier rider that way.
Nice. Well, that's good advice to start with right there.
Okay, so what has helped prepare you for moments like what's coming for you? Which parts of your training have been playing the biggest parts in leading up to this?
Well, definitely the training. I mean, Jackie's been a great influence and help. She's been to, you know, represent Canada many times. So I don't know if I'm really prepared for it because I've never actually been on a team like that. So again, it's kind of one day at a time and do that. So it's, I've just been really focusing on the horses and keeping them happy and healthy and learning and not pressuring them, but, you know, keeping the goal sort of in my sights for sure.
Yeah. And by Jackie, just for listeners who maybe didn't listen, hasn't listened to episode 13 yet, which I do suggest you do because Maya and I had a fun conversation in that one. Jackie Brooks is your coach and she's been your coach for how long?
Oh, a while now. Horrible, time flies. It's been quite a few years. It's been at least 6 years, I think now.
Awesome.
So yeah, she's always so positive and makes you feel like you can really do it and you're not crazy. So
anything's possible. Yeah. And talk about, you know, an infectious energy behind her with her teaching. Right. So yeah, that's awesome. So you are in a very enviable position of having four high level horses you've been preparing as options for you to ride in qualifications for the games. Can you tell us about that process and how it will play out when time comes to make your choice?
So they would all be basically declared once that time comes. So they'd be declared as, you know, individual horses. So you can only make the team with one horse. I can't compose a team all by myself. So it will be just based on scores, who's kind of peaking at that time and getting the scores. The benefit then would be if, you know, I made it with one horse and something did happen, you could sub in another one. But yeah, you do make it with just one. So in some ways it's exciting. So I have four to try with. In other ways, it's a little pressure because it's four chances.
And a little bit of exhaustion too. I mean, that's four rides every time, right?
Yeah, I showed five horses last weekend. So it's like, go. But I do it every day. I quite like it. So
yeah.
But yeah, they're all different and I just ride them each individually and kind of whoever's doing the best at the time, it's exciting for that horse to be hopefully selected. So
can you share with us who these four special individuals are and maybe how you came about with them?
Yeah, so I have Daedalus, who's owned by Gail Titley. He's now 17. He's been doing Grand Prix this summer for his first time. We bought him as a five-year-old for Gail to ride, actually, and she rode him for quite a while, and I did a little bit of showing with him, but then we kind of decided she wanted to step aside and be an owner and have me kind of develop him. So he's 15 too. He's just, we call him Bug.
I didn't know he was that small.
He's not very tall.
A little guy.
That's why we call him Bug. Aw. So it's kind of neat that he's doing Grand Prix because that was never the intention when we bought him. We wanted to have a nice, easygoing horse for Gail to learn on. So it's kind of neat that he's now doing the Grand Prix and doing quite well. I mean, we've got a lot to learn still, but
cool.
You know, he's a neat little horse. And then Fergie, who you know well.
Yes, Fergie.
Madame Fergie.
Yes.
Owned by Fiona McClellan. I started riding her when she was four, I believe she came to the farm I was at, and Fiona's been kind of riding her as well during the whole time, and sort of developed her. She did a little bit of the young horse classes, and this is her second year at the pre-St. George I-1 level. So she's a really fun mare. She has a little more opinions, but that's why we love her. She's definitely got the fire when she wants to do it. So
yeah.
But she had a really great weekend last weekend. So
awesome.
I'm excited about her. And then San Rafael belongs to Lisa Wood. I started riding him once he was backed at three, and kind of been training him all this time as well. He's a very tall, leggy, elegant horse, very talented as well. And Lisa really enjoys watching him. So he's a big mover. He's quite fancy, but he also sometimes feels like he doesn't need me. He can just do his thing. He's very clever.
Okay.
So their personalities are all kind of fun. They're all very different, but he's kind of the clown in the barn. That's for sure. And then Radar, who I bought myself, is a 3 month old. So that one, that's exciting. I put my tails on the weekend. I think I squealed when I got on him because it's a pretty big deal. And
wow. Yeah, I think we touched on that about you and Radar and a bit of your story. And I think it's just so cool. I mean, I think about it, you know, every time I go to Massage Fergie or I see something you post on social media and I'm like, wow, Maya's got four horses that you have started basically since they were like kids and mm-hmm. you brought them all the way up on your own, like with help. But it's so awesome because you are in a really great spot, knocking on wood, and not a lot of people get this chance. And I think it says a lot to your training and your programs and all that kind of stuff. So I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, it's neat. I have quite a relationship with all of them because you've gone through all those life stages with them and they're all now getting to the age where they're, you know, little adults. And so it's kind of neat to have been there the whole time. So you know them inside out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that gives you an edge in during this process because there's such a level of trust and knowing each other that, you know, tension doesn't build in certain areas when the communication isn't there. You know them so well. And because you're so laid back, they're like, oh, okay, Maya knows I've got this. I can do this. Right.
Oh, the horse show.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fine.
Awesome. So without adding undue pressure on yourself, what are your expectations for the Panhands and beyond?
There's that there word. We go.
It's a short turnaround with the Olympic set for 2024. So how are you lining things up in your mind to get you prepared for this?
So Radar and Rafa would not be ready for Olympics in 2024 because they're in the small tour level, and Fergie is doing a lot of the Grand Prix work, but again with her it's just sort of one day at a time, and it would be a very quick turnaround for her to do it, so I don't think it would be fair to make that sort of an expectation that she'd be ready. I mean, if she was, great. If not, then that's also fine because she's young enough. She's got lots of time. Yep. And then with Daedalus, I mean, he definitely is doing a Grand Prix now. So with some, you know, training in Florida under his belt, that could definitely be a horse I could declare. But again, I mean, it's a goal. If they're ready, they're ready. I'm not going to put unnecessary pressure on them or myself because that just takes the fun out of it. And
yeah,
I just want to enjoy it. And if they're ready, they're ready. And if not, then we try for the next one.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So your barn's slogan is teamwork makes the dream work. You've got that on jackets, don't you?
Shirts, jackets, shirts. All over.
Can you talk about about your team and how they're helping you reach this goal? What can you tell others about the importance of having that support system in place for you to be able to chase down your dreams?
Well, I don't even have words to describe them. They are amazing bunch of ladies, that's for sure. I couldn't do this without them. So they definitely, it is a team effort for sure. It takes, you know, everyone says it takes a village and it definitely does. I mean, you need to have a horse, but you need to have the support and the people backing you. And I have a really great group of people that really want to see me accomplish my goals and support that and cheer me on all the time. So I'm very lucky. I say it all the time because I'm so grateful for all of them. They make it a lot of fun too. And they are, you know, they're great. They don't pressure either. You know, the horse owners, they just love seeing their horse, and for them, as long as we're happy, that's all that matters. And if they do well, that's great. But at the end of the day, we really just like to enjoy the horses and have fun with it. So they also keep me grounded that way too. And Yeah, they've been really definitely a huge role in this, that's for sure.
Well, again, just speaking to the energy in your barn, walking into your barn and seeing like the interaction between you and your clients and the horses, you would never guess, based in all the other barns I've been in, that you currently have four horses that you're looking to qualify. Like there's just something very unassuming, and again, mm-hmm. very laid back about it. Can you speak to anyone or any situation in particular that, you know, you look back and you're like, wow, like this is something amazing?
Well, I mean, this whole summer we've done a lot of fundraising to assist me to go to Florida. And I mean, they've put in a ton of work organizing a fundraiser. We hosted a clinic, and they've been working their butts off trying to find sponsors and assisting me every way possible. So they definitely keep me motivated, that's for sure, to carry on. It's a great barn family. Like it really is. I don't look at them as clients or students. Like it really is just, we're all horse people, like-minded people, and we are literally like one big family who bicker at each other and sarcastic with each other and joke around, and yeah, we just have fun along the way. That's the most important thing.
Awesome. So how has your pursuit of the Pan Ams and Olympics rubbed off on your students? Have you seen them trying to raise their own level to match what they're seeing in you?
I think so. I mean, they always work hard. They know I've always a big believer in working hard. You know, horses are, it's not just about riding. You got to look after them and be there and put in the time and the effort. And so they've always been very good at that. But I think it definitely motivates them too when they see me working hard and putting in the hours and the time that, you know, they want to do the same, whether their goal is to, you know, go to pre-St. George or just rock first level, you know, it's right. It's all the same. So I think so. I think they're excited about it too.
So when you're at the show and you're, you know, in the midst of showing four or five horses, do you still have the time to coach them and be there for them at the ring? Like, how do you juggle that?
If I can, I'm there. I mean, I will have horses come down to the ring. The girls will bring them down so I can teach to the very last minute. I'll also, you know, if they're warming up in the same ring as me, I am known to canter around behind them yelling at them. So, but there's definitely times where there's conflicts. I mean, when I have 10 students there and I'm showing five horses, there's always going to be conflicts. I have a couple girls that are really great that will go to the ring sort of on my behalf and help out and be eyes on the ground. So everybody's super supportive. So nobody goes to the ring without someone helping them if I can't be there. And they're all pretty, you know, confident in the training they've done leading up to it. They, you know, they have a good plan in the warm-up. They know what they want to do. And, you know, they go out there and they rock it with me or not. So they do a great job.
Nice. Well, there was something I was going to say there. Do any of your students currently have that higher goal? Like, are there horses that, you know, your students have that might have potential to do this, or students that might really have this goal but are looking for horses?
I don't have anyone really at the moment looking for horses. I mean, kind of thinking about most of them, a lot of them we got as young horses that are, we're working up the levels, and they all want to do, you know, go as high as they can. I think pre-St. George is a pretty common goal for a lot of them, but that's not stopping them then there. So, you know, it's just training, and they all kind of are the same as me a little bit. Like if they can do it, great. And they're all moving up the levels every year. They get better and better. So we have, you know, draft crosses doing third level training pre-St. George at home. So
that's
they
awesome.
Kind of, you know, all types too as well. Doing really well. So yeah, I think they all want to just do as the best they can with the horse and be the best rider for their horse.
So it's kind of going back to like your prep and stuff. Would you say that you're hard on yourself, like as laid back as you are and you know, what people see on a day to day, what's going on between your ears when you're setting these goals for yourself? And are you hard on yourself, do you think?
I can be hard on myself a little bit. I was just actually talking to someone today about the voice in my head when I'm in the ring.
Interesting.
Sometimes that it would be really interesting to be able to record what I'm telling myself in the ring, which is generally all directed at myself. I'm picky, but I think that's what motivates me to keep learning and get better. I don't really settle ever. I think I can always do things better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also realistic too. I mean, you can't be that hard on yourself. You've got to be confident in what you're doing so your horse is confident. So
yeah,
but I'm my worst critic, that's for sure.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme, because I know like a few episodes ago I had on Lauren Hayes, and that's like something I think she said two or three times about herself, was like, you know, I can be my harshest critic, you know. And so I think when you have those goals, and but I mean, there's also something good about being able to look at yourself, as long as they're in the eyes of being, you know, that constructive criticism, you know, mm-hmm. like knowing that, yes, I'm doing my best, but what else can I do to take it that step farther? And how do you implement those thoughts? Like, do you change your game plan, or do you just kind of like, do you bounce it off Jackie? Like, how do you make adjustments for yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I bounce ideas off Jackie all the time. And we talk about, you know, all that kind of stuff all the time. She's really great for that. I mean, I'm pretty good at also picking out what is good. It's not always looking at what's negative either.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that all these horses have been trained up the levels at the way, the rate they have, says something. I must be doing something right.
Awesome.
And they're all happy. So when the horses are happy, it's, you know, it says a lot. So yeah, I think I'm pretty good at balancing it. I mean, I do look at pictures of myself and go, what is that hand doing? Or just like anybody else does.
Yeah.
But I also appreciate when they look right. So that's good.
Oh, you know, one of those days, maybe you should get one of those little recorders and, like, you know, quietly talk to yourself of what's going on between
your ears. I just did, in Radar's first pre-St. George, I did the line of three tempies, and the last change, I messed it up. I mean, I did, it was not, it was all me, which I mean, it normally is, but the whole corner, I was like, what were you thinking? How is he going to change in that position? And then you get sort of to see, and you're like, okay, moving along to the next movement.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to keep on trucking.
That's right.
Is there anything in your training that has come back to you in a big way during this process? So if you can share with us what it is, and how it's coming in handy for you now.
I think the biggest thing I've learned is to be patient. I mean, and just take it one day at a time with them. I mean, having goals is great and we all need them, but they are horses and their plans sometimes are not what our plans are, or unexpected things can happen. So I just am really patient, take one thing at a time, one day by day. And again, not put too much expectations. I mean, that was a big learning thing for me. That kind of turned around my whole mentality and the way I sort of looked at things. It's just, it's a journey.
Right.
And to have fun with it. I've just learned to just enjoy it, not stress out, enjoy the trip, learn.
Yeah.
Get better, be the best you can be. And that's really all you can do. I mean, that's really how I also ride other people's horses. You know, some people find it's a lot of pressure on them to do well, and I just do the best job I can, and at the end of the day, that's all you can really do. And that keeps you, I think, a lot saner than putting all this pressure on yourself to go out there and win all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be happy.
Has patience always been one of your stronger virtues, or is this something the horses have taught you, or other life experience has taught you?
I'm patient with horses and dogs and animals. I'm patient with people teaching. I mean, I, like any young person, you kind of learn that. I think, you know, when you have your pony and your pony's dumping you over every jump you go over, you have to brush yourself off and get back on and do it again.
Yeah.
So I've definitely learned that. I'm not patient with some things, like, you know, our home renovations, that kind of thing. So that I would like to all have done in a day, but yes. So that's taught me some patience as well. Just having a bit of chaos at home, and it's okay. It's fine. I guess yeah. It's, you know, my little OCD twitching, but I think I have been, because I'm pretty laid back. I would say I'm pretty patient.
Yeah. No, I really like this question in the sense, because I think it takes us back to the foundations, right? And like any athlete, whether you're talking about the skill within your sport and what's required of you, you know, when in doubt, like always go back to your foundations. I think sometimes in the midst of it all, they can get sort of filtered out. So you got to bring them back in again. And yeah, like even sort of the mental, emotional, in fact, spiritual aspects of our lives too, right? Like, you know, you said, I'm patient with, you know, this, and this, and stuff. So it makes you aware of where you're at. And I just think, yeah, it's kind of like reflection, taking the time mm-hmm. to sort of reflect back to where you're at, where you were, and the journey, mm-hmm. because I think so much can get lost, especially with what you're doing. And again, like I'm just so excited and I'm so proud of you. And this is just, that's why I really wanted to bring you on and share this with people, because this is a big deal. There's a lot of people that have this dream and you're doing it. You're right in the midst of getting ready to do it. And there's so much involved and so many things that you have to juggle. So yeah, I'm sure there's going to be plenty more. Can you imagine how much more you're going to learn about yourself?
Oh, probably a lot.
Yeah.
Probably more than I want to know.
I'm sure your sense of humor will help carry through this.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
If anything, goodness. I'm going to laugh along the way. That's for sure.
You might as well. Yeah. And being, what do they say? Being able to laugh at yourself. If you can't laugh at yourself, you can't, shouldn't laugh at anybody else, I guess.
No, I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah. Awesome. So apart from more training time, what tops the list of things you think you're going to need as you continue to go after a spot representing Canada and Chile? Can you talk about the financial realities? You mentioned this a bit already, but of chasing a dream like this one and how you're dealing with it.
I mean, it's definitely the financial aspect has been the biggest challenge. Because I do want to go to Florida this winter to train. I think that's really important. I want the horses to keep going in the ring, getting that experience in the ring. They're pretty good in the ring, but they can get a little bit nervous. Florida has such a beautiful venue. It's a really world-class venue. I mean, they've been showing at some pretty nice places here in Canada too. Mm-hmm. So that definitely makes a difference. But the financial part has been stressful. It's a lot of money to go to Florida, and I have the business at home that I don't have, you know, clients that are all just going to come with me. So I also am not going to close the barn down because I'm leaving. So it's kind of finding a balance between making things work here while I go down there. So it's been tricky, but we've done some fundraising this summer, and it was a great event we just had at the end of September. So that's been a huge relief. Hi, Midge. Midge is barking. So that's really going to help me be able to go down there and really invest time into training and kind of getting them to that next step. It's going to be, going to Florida is definitely important for that.
So when do you head down?
I'm hoping to go just after Christmas. Okay. I'll stay home and have Christmas with the family and then go down.
And do you have any more fundraising events or things coming up that people can be aware of if they want to support you?
I don't have any more events, but they can go on to my website and become like a patron if they like to, or just donate if they'd like to sort of support the journey and see how it goes. I post everything on social media. I like to keep people in the loop, and awesome. So I have a few people that like to do that, so they can definitely go on there and check that out for sure.
Well, I'll be sure to put that website and any information in the show notes for sure for people to get.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
And so when did you have to start planning for this? Like, did you think, like, was this a year ago where you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to plan for, and I got to start saving and doing that kind of thing? How does this work?
Yeah, I probably beginning of last year sort of was had this in my mind that it definitely these horses could be potentially ready to declare based on sort of where they were training at the time. So I have been trying to save for it, but I probably also own too many horses, so that doesn't help, as anyone knows. Yeah. I have some young ones because it's important too to have some coming up horses as well. So
yeah.
But for sure. Or then I have, you know, line of credit.
Yeah. I mean, that is the reality of this that I don't like, isn't that the thing in the sport right now where people are really discussing, like, that's what Jackie and I talked about when I had her on as a guest, you know, like how the funding helps these riders. Are, do you have any access to funding? Is any of that there for you?
No, I'm too old. I'm not a kid.
Okay.
So a lot of the bursaries are for, you know, youth, which is great. But I really don't qualify for any assistance until you're competing at this sort of the international level and you sort of get long listed, then, you know, you can get some funding, but it's not a lot, that's for sure. But at this point, it's just all me getting them, you know, and the owners getting their horses out there and campaigning them. So,
and that's
why I only have one day off a week,
right?
And I'm always at the barn.
And you're teaching, you travel quite a lot for clinics and teaching and everything too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with these owners of these other three horses that you don't own, that's a huge commitment as well. Like, how do you have that conversation with, you know, these people that came to you to just help and train and ride your horse, and now there's like a team possibility? How do you initiate that conversation?
I mean, once they sort of started getting to that kind of level, the owners are pretty, a lot of them kind of have let me know that they would totally support if their horse could, you know, potentially be a team horse. They're pretty open from that right from the beginning. So I mean, they're really excited as well, so they should be, and they're babies.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, it's expensive, it's a big thing for them too, and financially, but also, you know, I'm taking their child down to Florida while they stay up here and
freeze
snowed in. You know, so it's, again, it goes back to how supportive they really are, that, you know, they want to see their horse do well, but they also really want to provide me with a horse that could be a team horse, which I'm forever grateful for. So
yeah. Wow. All right. Okay, so finish this sentence for me, Maya. By this time next year, Maya Markowski will be feeling about the pursuit of this dream.
Effing amazing, Tracy.
Effing amazing. All right. So it's good to know my producer, Matt, won't have to remove an F-bomb. I'm sure he'll be.
You're happy. Welcome, Matt. I left that out for you.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's awesome. Okay. So yeah, like just one day at a time, my friend, right? Just
one day at a time.
Yeah.
Just keep working towards it, working hard, and it will be what it will be, really. It's kind of how I'm rolling with this at the moment.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm very thankful that you came on and shared this. Yeah. I wanted to give you the opportunity to share this, because this is a story, like the workings behind, you know, we all see you guys going in the ring, but there's such, you know, a story behind it and the realities that are there. And so, and I think you're awesome. So I hope that you will be my three-peat guest, and maybe this time next year we can chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That'll be great. So where can people find you and Equest Dressage and all that information?
If they go to equestdressage.ca, there is a support Maya link, so they can go there. If they're interested in that, and it's also a great way to kind of follow the journey, or they can go onto my Facebook or Instagram pages and kind of follow the journey that way as well.
Awesome. And are you still open to and taking clients and doing clinics and all that stuff? I know you're getting close to leaving, but you know,
Yep, I'm still doing clinics. I can take ship-ins for pretty stalls, or I need another barn, apparently, people keep telling me. I don't think I can ride anymore at this point without cloning myself. So I don't have any stalls, and we got a bit of a list of some babies coming in. So that's nice. A good problem to have, but ship-ins are always welcome. And I do travel for clinics. I enjoy those. So yeah.
Awesome. All right, Maya. Well, thank you so much and best of luck to you. We will definitely be watching.
Thank you.
So there you have it. I have some great interviews lined up for future episodes, and we'll be covering some pretty interesting topics, as always, with the intent to open and engage the horse world on a wide variety of issues. So until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. To stay current with Hitting Your Stride, subscribe on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you like what you've heard here today, make sure you share and leave a comment to help guide future episodes and widen the audience. And be sure to check out social media to keep up to date with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching.